Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise Jesus. Get your Bibles out, church. And if you would, throw it open, because we'll get to it in a minute. I have no idea where we're going. Well, how many of y'all are just feel kind of lost and undone in life because you've had a few days off and you got out of the habit of doing what you normally do and you ate too much and you ate all the wrong things? And is anybody else with me here this morning? How many of you ate things that you wouldn't have normally ate the last few days, huh? Come on, confess up. Let's see it. You know, it's funny because we go, and the sad thing is, you know, you work and you discipline yourself to eat right and to do everything right. And if you, you know, the Bible doesn't say this. It's the psychology of science says that it takes 21 days to make a good habit. So you've worked hard for 21 days just doing, you know, getting yourself in order and getting straight and eating right and doing what you're supposed to do. But then the sad thing is it only takes 3 days to form a bad habit. Just 3 days to form a bad habit. Can you believe that? Look at the person beside you and say, 3 days. Everybody say, I did more in 3 days. So after 3 days, if you've quit eating cookies and then you developed 3 days of eating cookies. Like last night, I dropped the hammer down. So this is it, man. I ate my last sweet, the day before. I ate the last sweet. And so I was gathering some stuff up on the table, and I moved something. And I saw, I wonder what's that little package? Was opening it up? Oh, somebody had given me peanut butter cookies. And I was like, oh, geez. So, you know, being the man of God that I am, I succumbed to the temptation and ate them. So I have to start over tomorrow, you know. So anyway, all I'm saying is that's life. But one thing that you cannot do is live your life in your relationship with the Lord like that. Amen? The worst thing you can do in life is to have a stop and start relationship with Jesus. In other words, you know, you get going and you read your Bible and you pray and you do pretty good for a few days, and then you get distracted and you go off on something else, and then you're off over here, and then you come back. That's the worst thing you can do. If you want to have a good, healthy relationship with the Lord, you're better off spending just a few minutes every day and being consistent about it than you are here hit and miss. Y'all with me? Because what happens when you get hit and miss kind of a relationship, then it gets the farther between the hits and the misses, right? And once you get out of the habit of waking up in the morning or going to bed at night or doing whatever you're doing, and you get out of the habit of reading your Bible, well, then I want to tell you something. You're going to have to fight to get it back. Amen? Because that's the nature of us humans. We're all made out of dirt. Y'all with me? And dirt doesn't always perform well. Look at the person beside you and say, wake up, dear God. This is just a good day here. Should be fun. And okay, so let's get into this. This is our last service of 2015. I tried to come up with something really, you know, really smart, but I figured I'd use that next week. Get my wife back home. And by the way, thank y'all for praying for her and my daughter and all. She's doing really well. She's gotten some good reports. She's still on bed rest, but the contractions have really slowed down, and the peace of God's in the house, and things are going good. And so thank the Lord on high. My wife will be coming home Saturday, so thank you, Jesus, for that. So but I was just praying about this whole service this week and what was going on. But I'm just hung on this thing that the Lord spoke to me a couple of weeks ago, and I started this message called Swing Away, where I really believe that what God is wanting to birth in our hearts in 2016 is a revival. And I'm not talking about necessarily the revival where we're going to get the big tent and get out there and have services all week long and that type of situation. What I really believe is God's talking about there's two kinds of revivals. There's personal revival and there's corporate revival. Personal revival you can have in your heart and in your life every day of your life. You can be having the Holy Ghost Azusa Street meeting in your home, in your own personal life with Jesus every day, and nothing, no matter what's going on around, can hinder it. That's the way we all should be. We all should be on fire for the Lord. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, Jeremiah was a young preacher, and he'd been preaching to Israel and preaching to him and preaching to him and preaching to him and preaching to him for 40 years, and nobody listened to him. You know, I don't want that ministry. Hello? I look for a few cards to come through that somebody says they learned something, so I can at least say, oh, God, I got one, you know? I mean, because I don't want to be the Jeremiah preacher who preaches for 40 years and just that was what your assignment was to God, for God, was just to tell them that even though they're not going to change. Same ministry with Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a ministry. He preached to preach to them, and right at the very beginning of the preaching, God told him, he said, look, I called you to go to these people and to preach to these people, and there's not any of them going to listen to you. And the reason why I chose you is because your head is harder than flint going up against them. Now, that's a great, also, the reason why you know you got called into the ministry, because your head's harder than the people you're preaching to. I mean, and then I put all that together, and so sometimes I kind of wonder, you know, about myself, you know, but... anyway, Jeremiah was preaching, but in chapter 20, verse 9, he preached to him for 40 years, and nobody was listening to him. Everything was just going downhill. The nation was sliding, and he's just preaching, and he says, I've got to preach. I'm paraphrasing it some. He says, in verse 9, he said, I have to preach. He said, I got the Word of God in my heart. And when the Word of God got in my heart, it got down in my bones, and it's like a fire. It's burning. There's nothing I can do about it. No matter how much I try to get away from it, it's still the resounding Word of God burning like a fire in my bones that I've got to tell people about how good Jesus is. Now, I paraphrased some of that, but that's what they said. That's what the gist of the thing, okay? Because, folks, that's revival. Revival is when the Word of God, that you have a hunger on the inside of you for the Word of God, because that is what makes you function in life. Not how well everything goes. Because if you're dependent upon your ability to function in life by how well everything goes, I'm sorry, you're going to be discouraged a lot in life. You're going to be discouraged a lot in life. Hello? Because if you're dependent upon, you know, things going right and all this kind of stuff happening to make you happy, folks, listen to me, it's not going to work. If you're dependent upon your husband to make you happy, your wife to make you happy, it's not going to always work. Yes, we can have a great relationship. Yes, we can love each other less. There are good things in this world, and there's great friendships and relationships, and there's, you know, killing the big buck that can make you happy. All right? But it's not lasting. It's not there. We got to have that lasting relationship, that fire that's down in our bones, that hunger to know the Lord and to walk with Him and walk with His Word in our heart, so that it's compelling us. And if you're not there, I want to tell you, 2016, God wants to get you there. But if you're not there and you say, look, man, listen, Robert, I mean, thank you. God bless you. I love you. I like your funny preaching. I like who you are. You're a great guy. I like the church. Like, it's just kind of easy going. It's cowboy. But, you know, I don't really want to. I just want to make sure I go to heaven. I just want to die and make sure that I can be assured that I'm going to go to heaven. And that's really the only relationship I want with the Lord. Because every time I get around Him, you know, I get around Him, and then I feel guilty about what I'm doing in life, and I think that maybe I ought to change. And I just don't like feeling guilty. I really just want to do what I want to do. Hello? There's hundreds of thousands of people in church today, and that's their attitude right now. They're worshiping this morning, this Sunday, throughout the land. Hello? That's just their attitude. It's like, man, you know, I mean, I do believe in God, and I do believe in heaven, I do believe in hell, I do believe in Jesus, and I do want to be saved, and I do want to go to heaven, and you know, really, but that's it. But other than that, I don't really want to go any deeper with the Lord, because every time I get around Him, and then, you know, now I feel convicted about things, and I don't really want to feel convicted. I just want to do what I want to do. Nothing would give me greater joy than just to do what I want to do. But I'd probably be in prison. You know, if I could just do what I wanted to do. There has to be some constraints in our life, you know. But my point is here, is what I'm trying to say to you this morning is, if that's your life and that's your thinking, and if you're watching and listening to the program today and that's where you are in life and you just happen to click on this for, you know, whatever strange reason, listen, you don't have any hunger for God. And without a hunger for God in your life, then that's where you're going to become is just apathetic. And you're just going to want the fire insurance, but you don't really want to have a relationship. And God's calling us to a relationship. What? Just think about this. Why is America in the trouble that it's in? America's in the trouble that it's in right now is because we have taken God out of the picture of everything going on in our country. Well, when you start taking God out of the picture, then that's that much less word that's in the picture. That's that much less word that's getting sown in people's heart, even if it's just, I mean, my gosh, we can't even say Merry Christmas anymore. We can't even, they don't even want nativity scenes. They don't want anything to go around that has anything to do with Jesus or sow any amount of word into the lives and the hearts of people. I read a story one time that General MacArthur, after the end of World War II, they were talking about the reconstruction of Japan, and they asked him, what do you need to reconstruct Japan to build it to its strongest and to get this country back on its knees? And he says, I need 100,000 missionaries. And they said, what? And he said, I need 100,000 missionaries to go into that country and rebuild it because their God and their whole system has been destroyed, and right now you need to go take the gospel into there and give the people hope and tell them the truth and do that. And the government said, are you crazy? And they didn't do it. You see what I'm saying to you, churches? Everybody always says, oh, well, we don't want to offend people. We don't want to do this and we don't want to do that. We don't, oh, you know, we got to be politically correct and all this kind of stuff. But the only thing that's going to save anybody's soul and help people in life is the Word of God and is a relationship with Jesus. And the only way that people are going to accept and receive the relationship with Jesus is if they see it working in your life. Because preachers, you know, we're a dime a dozen and we already have a bad reputation. But you, that's the truth. I mean, you still say, you know, you're a preacher and everybody's like, oh man, you're a money thieving, adulterous, embezzling, loud mouth, just in it for the money. You know, that's what they all say. That's the reputation. But if you and your friends and they see Jesus and life working in your life, and they know who you are, and they know you have your faults, but they know what you're doing. Well, when they're in trouble, they're going to cry out for God, and they're going to look at to you. Hello? Because you're the missionary into the field of this world. And all I can do is keep you encouraged. All I can do is speak into your heart. All I can do is try to drop a word into you. All I can do is try to equip you and give you something for you to go out there in the world and to do the work of the ministry. But that's all my job is. I'm just the cheerleader on Sunday morning, trying to rah-rah you into, come on, folks, we can go do it. But when you break out those doors and go out there and talk to, your friends are only going to listen to you. I mean, I'm amazed. I very rarely ever tell people I'm a preacher. I can get away with it real easy. Nobody ever thinks I'm a preacher. And I very seldom ever tell anybody that I'm a preacher. I pastor a church. People ask me, what do I do? I'm everything from an arms dealer to you know, construction to, you know, a motivational speaker, you know, whatever. But I'm never going to say I'm a pastor because everybody's attitude changes. And when I'm just Robert, then everybody's like, oh, hey, this is Robert. I don't know who he is. He's a cool guy. You know, come on. Yeah, yeah. And then I can interject something in their lives. Okay, well, we have to have a hunger. We have to have a hunger inside of us that keeps going and keeps building. And we're not going to be hungry in life unless we learn to feed on the Spirit of God and learn to feed on His Word. And when we learn that every day we have to consistently feed on God's Word then all of a sudden what happens to us is that our spirits begin to grow, and all of a sudden, man, all the world begins to open up to you, and God begins to speak to you, and he begins to lead you, and he begins to, you begin to say, okay, don't do that. Yeah, all right. And you, man, you find this great life. This great life. I wish it was easy, like when the children of Israel, just think about this. Just watch how my statement's wrong. I wish it was easy like it was with the children of Egypt when they came out and the angel led them out and they had a pillar of fire by night that they followed and a big angel by the day, and then everything would be easy, right? Those dudes were watching a big angel and a pillar of fire, yet they murmured at every drop and every turn. They griped about the water. They griped about the food. They griped about their tents. They griped about the desert. They griped about God. They griped about everything. I just, in my mind, I can't fathom if I walked outside and there was just a pillar of fire. That didn't burn the ground. And was just there, I'm pretty sure that I think I would say, wow, God is real. I mean, let's behave ourselves. If you walked outside and there was an angel standing there, huge, if he was going to lead the whole people, he wasn't like he was a little angel, not one of the little flat, fat, flying ones, you know. I mean, a big warring angel, and he was standing there, the sword in his hand, and you're watching him, you're looking at him, don't you think you would say, but they didn't. Why? Because it's the human nature of all of us. Unless we have a hunger and a personal relationship with God, we're going to get flaky. Look at the person beside you saying, I think he's talking about you. Folks, left to ourselves, we usually get in trouble. Huh? Is that right? Left to ourselves, we usually get in trouble. The Bible even says a man who isolates himself seeks his own desires, and he's going to get in trouble. Y'all with me? So the point is, we have to stay hungry. And you don't want to kill your spirit. You don't want your spirit to get so calloused that it has no sensitivity towards the things of God. Okay? You don't want to get so callous that you see goodness and something good happen, and you're like, oh, pfft, you know. Because you better watch it, because when you start to get callous like that and hard like that, what happens then is you're searing your conscience, you're searing your heart, and you're just saying, look, I can just make it on my own. I don't need this. And when you get there, it's a dangerous place to be. Because then all of a sudden you're setting yourself up as king. You're setting yourself up as God. You're setting yourself up that you have the answers. You're setting up your own kingdom, your own everything. And then you better watch it, because now what's going to happen is you are in charge. So, oh, wow. It's going to be ugly. Because I'm telling you, all of us, we're going to mess it up. So Jeremiah said, there's nothing I can do. The word of God got down in, it got in my bones. It's burning like a fire. I've got to follow the word. Well, the only way the word can get in you is if you to read the word. Hello? The only way you're going to maintain and have any sense of staying hungry for the things of God is you've got to develop that habit of reading the word. One chapter, one verse, one whatever. You just got to do it. I don't care how you do it. You got to do it. Okay? So let's go somewhere. Let me just tell you this so I can move on. In Matthew 15:32, Jesus, he went out and he preached on the side of the hill, and everybody came out there and they sat there and they listened to him for 3 days straight. And afterwards he says, you know, the people are getting hungry. We ought to feed them. How many of you right now, your stomach is growling and you're thinking about eating something? We've been in service for less than 1 hour, and I'm already thinking about what to eat. You're going to go sit on the side of the hill and listen to Jesus preach for 3 days straight? Now, you know, I don't know. It doesn't say that the people had backpacks on and or they went down to the convenience store or whatever, you know. But, I mean, 3 days? Are you hungry enough to sit and listen to Jesus preach for 3 days? Most churches have a clock that is right on the back wall that the preacher is supposed to look at and get out by 12. Somebody commented here that one day said, first thing I noticed about y'all's church, you don't have a clock. What I'm saying to you is that the people have grown so into their custom, and their only level of hunger is food, and you got to get out by 12 o'clock. It's got to end. If you go over, you know, saints preserve us, you've desecrated the church and should be banished from the pulpit. But these people were so hungry when Jesus was speaking. They said, well, that was Jesus, and you're not Jesus. I agree 100%. But my point is, 3 days? To go sit and listen to Jesus for 3 days? That's a hunger like I've never seen. Okay? So, but what was happening was the living Word was preaching. In John chapter 1, it says Jesus was the Word. And then the Word became flesh. Jesus was the living Word, and He was preaching. And the living Word was going off of His lips. And when it was hitting those people, it was giving them life. It was changing them because it was truly the living Word being broken and shared with those people. And they're listening to it. And their flesh may have been hungry, but their spirits were just full and excited and being blessed. Well, listen, if a preacher doesn't preach the Word of God, well, then you may have a hard time finding any living Word to get hold of. But if I'm preaching the Word of God, you need to come to church with your hearts and your spirits open so that you're sitting there, whether what I'm preaching is what you need or not, just be asking God, come on, Lord, I want your living Word into my life. I don't care if it's a smile from somebody's face. I don't care if it's what somebody greeted me at the door with. I don't care if it's a song in the praise and worship. Cause it to be alive. Because, folks, there's a difference between just going and listening to some motivational speaker tell you what to do, because that ain't going to really change your life. I have prayed and prayed and prayed, and I prayed this morning the same prayer. Lord, if your spirit doesn't go with me, then please remove me, because I'm not a good motivational speaker. I can't just stand up here and rah-rah you. I have got to have the anointing. I've got to have the Spirit of God. It's got to not be my words that you're hearing. It's got to be the words of the Spirit, and the one who controls that is you. Listen to me. It's not me. It's you. You say, how? How do you know? How could that be? Because it's not, if I'm walking and under the anointing of God and I'm speaking under the anointing of God, then it's only your spirit that needs to be open to receive the living Word of God. And how hungry you are is going to determine what you're going to hear. Not how good I can preach it. Does that make any sense to you? Some of y'all are looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm really preaching good. It's not, it's your hunger that's going to get, you're going to get a word if you're hungry. I remember a friend of mine, his name was Jim Scalise, and he used to come out here and preach, and he was in prison. And he said that he didn't know anything. He'd never really had any church background, didn't know anything. And so that in the prison that there was like one Sunday it was a Catholic service, and the next Sunday it was a Methodist service, and the next Sunday it was a Baptist service, and you know, they just rotated it in like that. And well, he didn't know anything about denominations. He didn't know anything about faith and beliefs. He didn't know nothing about nothing. And so he would just go to church every Sunday, and he would just listen to the preacher, but he's so hungry because he had gotten saved while he was in prison that he didn't care who it was up there preaching or what they were doing. He was hearing from heaven. Why? Because he was hungry. You see, it's your hunger that determines what you're going to hear and what you're going to receive. Listen, if you can go sit down at the Thanksgiving meal, the Christmas meal, Thanksgiving meal, you can go sit down with all your family at a big meal, but if you're sick at your stomach, you're not going to want to eat. I mean, it's logical. However hungry you are is going to determine how much you're going to eat. Like they always say, never go grocery shopping when you're hungry. Because you buy everything. You know, I'm like that. Hey, get some of those. Get some of those. Let's eat that. And then I'm like, what am I doing? I'm hungry. And so you just get out of your brain. Same, you just get out of your head, you know, just do whatever. It's the same way when you're hungry for the things of God. When you wake up in the morning and you say, well, I'm just going to come to church. Yeah, let's just go to church. Yeah, we need to go to church. We don't, you know, get up. We want another gold star, so you know, let's go to church. No, but if you come to church, you say, listen, I really want to know about the things of God. I am really hungry. I really want to know Jesus. Then all of a sudden, no matter what's going on, your spirit is open to receive the things of God. That's hunger. That's the hunger I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hunger that comes not that I stir up in you, but that you stir up in you. Hello? That you determine that you want to know him more. Let's go to this scripture. Let's go to John chapter 4. Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 1. Let's just start reading in verse 1. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus told this woman, look, I want a drink. I want a natural drink of water. I'm thirsty. But if you really understood what was going on in the world, if you really understood what was really happening here, and you really grabbed hold of it, you'd understand that there's something more than natural water. There's living water. There's a living water, that ability to come in and change your soul. You know, the things of God that I appreciate so much is like in this time that my wife and I have been separated. We prayed, we talked about it, we knew that this had to be done. I've never been gone from my wife for 3 weeks. She's never been gone from me for 3 weeks. I knew it was not going to be easy. And so we prayed. And the moment I got on the plane and I started leaving California and coming here, I felt the grace of God come on me. I called her when I got home and said, sweetie, you feel the grace on you? She said, I do. And it's been relatively easy because I felt his grace. Folks, there's nothing that can satisfy that. There's nothing that can replace that. There's nothing in life. When you have a relationship, a living, alive relationship with the Spirit of God, and you know that he's alive and he's there, that He is with you. And it's not some hocus pocus. It's not some kind of hype. That he's really with you and he's really moving and he's really working with you. And he's really there. And it is true. And it's not a fairy tale. And that God will move in your life and do whatever in your life. Well, then, folks, listen to me. I hunger for that. And I hunger for a relationship with a God who loves me like that. And that's the most important thing in the world. I want to tell you something here today. It's more important than success. It's more important than achieving the greatest goals you could ever achieve in life. Because to know Jesus and to truly know who he is, that's really, really what life is all about. Not just you feel comfortable. Not just you're assured of your salvation, but you really know him and you have a relationship with him. There's nothing more valuable in life than that. Hello? Y'all with me? That's the most important thing in the world. There is nothing else. So Jesus said to this woman, man, if you knew who was sitting in front of you, if you knew who was sitting in front of you, you'd have asked, and I'd give you living water.
How many times do you, listen, this is a sad statement, but how many times do you think we've missed God in life? How many times do you think that God had something really awesome that he wanted to bless you with and you made a left when you should have made a right? One of the verses that I read the other day, I was just reading here, and it's Isaiah 48:17, and it says, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit and who leads you by the way which you should go. I thought, wow, God, isn't it amazing? You're the God who leads us by the way which we should go. But are we looking for your leading? You know, 2016 coming around, are we looking for his leading? We have to watch it, church, and not get so caught up with all the things that are going on in the world and this election year and who's right and who's wrong and, oh, my God, they did this and, oh, my God, they did that and who did this and what is that and what is this? Oh, my gosh, they did that. And you get so caught up with all of that, we forget that we serve another kingdom. We serve the kingdom of God. And we serve a king who's already established on the throne, who's righteous and just and is right and has the last word and is going to have the last word and is going to bring everything about at whatever time needs to be. He knows the perfect time, and he's going to step into the world scene in the perfect time, and it's all going to work out all right, and we're on the winning side. There's times you have to stop and remind yourself, listen, folks, we already have won. We seem to think that everything and put ourselves in time limits and think that, oh, we've just got this much time, we need to do this and that. And folks, listen, we need to live life however it comes at us, but living it and knowing that we're part of the kingdom of God. I'm going to preach a message this next year, and it's going to be good. It's going to be funny. We're going to have a good time with it. But I'm going to preach a message on being blessed and what does it mean to be blessed. And, you know, you're the head, not the tail. And we're going to have some, I'm going to make this work out. Jake's going to help me. He's going to bail me out. And we're going to do some video with it and all. And we're going to have it, because, folks, we don't really realize how blessed we are. We don't realize how knowing Jesus and having a personal relationship with him, what it means, what it means to people. How many people who have millions of dollars would give all of it up to know Jesus because they're in a situation that all their millions isn't going to bail them out? How many people would be willing to give up what they had just for an ounce of peace? We've got to be careful because we get too accustomed and too used to everything going on. We get too complacent, and because, you know, we do know him, and we come to a place and we just kind of get, we plateau. And that's a dangerous place to be. You always need to be a mountain climber. You with me? Because when you walk on level ground, it's easier, right? But I'm telling you, we don't need easy. We need to be challenging ourselves. We need to be climbing all the time. We need to be climbing. 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 Hello? You need to be challenging your thoughts, challenging your walk with Jesus, challenging it. And don't just get so, oh, yeah, that's what the word says. Well, go figure out, why did Jesus say that? What does it really mean? Because if you just get complacent and walk on the easy road of on the level ground, well, then, you know, you're not really hungry for God. And if you're not really in a position of being hungry for God, well, then, man, when the hard time comes, you don't have anything to fall onto. You've not built your relationship, right? Some of y'all are going to think this is ugly, but it's Deuteronomy 23:13. Don't put it up. Deuteronomy 23:13. I was reading it, and you can go look it up on your own time, because I'm talking about challenging yourself. It's a scripture when God's given ordinance to the children of Israel. It says, make sure and carry an implement with you that when you go out in the woods to go to the bathroom, that you dig a hole and you cover it up. Because he says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I walk in the midst of you, and I don't want to step in it. I paraphrased just a little bit there.
I mean, I just in my daily reading came across that scripture. It wasn't like I was looking up crazy scriptures. And I read that and I said, isn't that funny? Most people think God's just a spirit, just floats around. He's not real. But it says right here, he doesn't want to step in it. So he really truly is walking in the midst of it. When the scripture says Jesus, when there's two of us gathered together, he's there in his midst. It's not just all by spirit. Think about that. Think about Jesus when it says he's walking with you, that truly he is walking with you. His footprint may not be showing up there, but or is it? Let me ask you this, different little vein. Do you want Jesus to go everywhere with you? Before you answer that, think about what I just said. Do you want Jesus to go everywhere with you? What about when you're having a crazy time? Just thought. See, I'm getting nowhere with that when it's going. You're on your own, Lord, on that one. So anyway, Jesus says to this woman that I would have given you living water. And she says, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? So in other words, she says that she can't understand something unless she's looking at it in a natural sense. In 2016, listen to me, folks, you need to develop your relationship with Jesus. You need to have revival in your life, but you got to realize that there is a supernatural. Everything doesn't have to come about just so you can understand it. Everything doesn't have to take place because, you know, you can understand it. Listen, there's a supernatural out there. Events happen just because God moves and events happen. And you can't explain it. I don't have to explain it. I serve a God who's supernatural. We talked about Wednesday night. Isn't it amazing that God comes down, he's going to save the world, he's going to come blasting in here, and how is he going to save the world? He has a baby born in a feed trough. Doesn't seem like a very good plan to me. In the natural, looking at it, I'd have come down with my warring angels. I'd have done something different. I would not have had the plan to save the world being a baby, the most weak little thing stuck in a feed trough, didn't even get him a bed, in a feed trough to save the world. But that's what God did. And if God can use a baby to save the world, he can certainly get you out of the mess you're in if you'll just turn to him. But that's God. And you can't figure it all out all the time. It doesn't always make sense. But that's supernatural, okay? And so the woman, she's just looking totally in the natural. Because she's looking totally in the natural, she can't see the supernatural. Because she's so fixed talking about water that Jesus doesn't have a water pot. He's got no bucket, nothing to get water with. That's all she can see. She's like, how are you going to give me living water? You don't even have a water pot. So he goes on and says, are you greater than our fathers Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it? As well as his sons and his livestock. And Jesus answered, so whoever drinks this water is going to thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I'm going to give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a fountain of water springing up unto everlasting life. A fountain of water springing up. You see, what I'm talking about is a hunger that takes you to a place that you develop a relationship with Jesus, that you have your own fountain of living water bubbling up on the inside of you at all times, God speaking to you and helping you. And when you have a crazy moment and you have a crazy thought, or somebody does something and you get crazy thoughts or crazy mind or wild-eyed, you get that wild-eyed cat look in your eye, that there's a fountain of living water that's springing up on the inside of you, you can tap into and say, okay, Lord, my flesh has got the wild-eyed cat look. But I'm hanging on to the living water. Lord, what do I do? Lead me and guide me. That is the relationship I'm talking about. That's the hunger I'm talking about. That's the reason that this living water can spew up on the inside of you and set your course in life and bring you victory. But you got to hunger for it. It's not just going to happen. No matter how many times I say it, it's not going to happen. It's just like saying you can buy the treadmill and you can set it up and you can plug that baby in and you can figure out how to work the computer, but if you don't get on it and walk on it, you ain't going to get no exercise. Having it in your house does not constitute exercise. You can't go on the floor. Do you exercise? Oh, I exercise every day. I got the machines right there. Let's start there. Yeah. You got to get on it and you got to walk it. Hello? But how many of us have those things sitting around the house that they're not used? And why aren't they used? Because we don't like it. We don't want to walk on it. We don't want to sweat. We don't want to be tired and sore. If they came out with a pill that everybody took it and got in health, they would line up, they would fight, they'd kill. Stores would be being robbed. All you had to do is take this pill every day and you were totally healthy and you're just the same as if you'd exercise. We'd all do it. No, I just like the old-fashioned way. I just want to go out and sweat and my muscles burn and hurt and everything's hurting. I can't walk and all that kind of stuff. That's what I want to do. I mean, there's something wrong with you if that's what you want to do. If you could take a pill and it was just all okay, right? But do you know how crazy the world would get over something like that? And then there's a shortage of it. I don't know how I got off on this, but I mean. But you see what I'm saying? If you're going to, we're always going to look in the natural and we're always going to be like the woman and we're not going to hunger and thirst for things. Because it is work. I'm telling you, it is work. You have to keep yourself going. You have to keep. But the benefits and the rewards of it are great. Same spill as you get from the exercise guy. The, como se dice, the personal trainer. Right? The same thing as you get from the personal trainer. I just gave you the same speech. You can do it. You can. Go. Just one more rep. Just one more rep. You can do it. Yeah. Because truly it is the same. It's just hunger in your spirit and hunger in your flesh. And I'm telling you right now, the Apostle Paul said, exercise, bodily exercise profiteth little. And I like that scripture. But what he was trying to say is you can be the greatest gladiator on the face of the earth, but if you don't know Jesus, you're going to fail. He's trying to say the most important thing you can exercise in life is your spirit. And Jesus is telling this woman, you're just looking at things that are natural. That's all you're doing is you're looking at the natural things. So Jesus says to her, go call your husband and tell him to come here. And the woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yeah, you answered right. You don't have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have isn't your husband. You know, I can't wait to really meet Jesus, you know, like face to face and just sit down and just really talk to him and all, because he has, man, he's got ways. He can say things, you know, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, whatever, to this woman. Yeah, that's a good answer you said right there. You don't have a husband and you had five of them. There you go. One you got now. Because I don't think he said that like religiously. I said, I haven't heard word of the Lord. You have said correctly. No. I just think he was basically kind of being a smart aleck, but giving a word of knowledge at the same time. That's the way I see it. Now, maybe I've got the wrong picture here. So the woman says, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Oh, now she's changing. Now she believes in prophets. You with me? She believes in prophets and all of a sudden. First, she's like, you ain't got a pot. How are you going to give me any water? Oh, I perceive you're a prophet. For our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and the Jews said that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you'll neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. For you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know what we worship. for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, isn't it interesting that the woman, first, you don't perceive much about her, but you then find out that she does have some sort of a spiritual walk because she believes in prophets. She's talking about worship. She's talking about knowing that the Messiah is coming. So there was a hunger in her at one time, or there was enough word in her at one time to have something that when the living word spoke to her, boom, something happened. What I'm saying to y'all is in 2016, I believe Jesus wants to, boom, speak to you and stir and cause revival on the inside of you. He wants to cause that revival on the inside of you because he wants that relationship with you. And he wants to lead you and guide you, and you need to know this next year where to put your foot. Because remember what the scripture says, church? It's the broad road that leads to destruction. Huh? A broad road's easy to walk on. A broad road's easy to walk on. You just walk down, it's a broad road. But he says, but it's the narrow path that leads to life. But it takes skill to walk a narrow path. Let me just say this. It takes skill to maneuver through relationships in this world with people and not get yourself over in a spirit of anger and be over here missing God because you're angry. It takes skill to know how to maneuver in life with the proper way to pray and to handle situations in life. It takes skill to maneuver through the life of your health. I'm telling y'all, in myself, I have fought stomach problems for 10 years, and God began to speak to me and tell me what to do and what to change. And I did, and I'm 99% better because I heard the voice of the Lord and he led me. Now, I got off track and got on the broad road these last few days. But I know the path back to the narrow road because I've had that relationship with him and I know what to do, and all I got to do is just shut up and do it. Got to beat my flesh a little bit. But my point is, church, I believe the closer, the farther down the road we walk, the smarter we have to be. Because I believe I don't want you to fall into quicksand. I don't want you to fall into dangerous areas. I don't want you to fall into areas of that you could be dangerous to you and your family because you made the wrong decision. And I believe this is an important year, 2016 coming up. It's an important year. And, you know, I want you in the right place at the right time. And the only way you're going to get there is to stay hungry and keep hungry. Now, I want to say this and I want to close. When Jesus was talking with the woman, he's doing all this, she got stirred up because she knew that what Jesus was saying was real. She knew that God was speaking. She recognized God is moving. Okay? That's what you've got to look for. You've got to look for the times and the places in your life that you can see God is moving. God, ooh, that was God. That happened. That promotion came about because of God. Or this, man, I can't believe I was there at this time and did that because... wow, that was God. This was God. Oh, that's how you need to be living your life. All right? And so she goes then, and she tells everybody in town, come and see a man who told me all that I've ever done. Come and see. She became the preacher. She stirred the whole town. The whole city came and got saved. Okay, let me put it to you this way. The woman had personal revival in her life first. Her personal revival caused a whole city to come to know Jesus and meet Jesus. Y'all with me? That's what I'm talking about happening. We got to have personal revival in our lives first if we're going to see revival come to our cities, to our villages, our communities.
And it's going to come through you. It's not going to come through me. It's going to come through you. And it's going to come through your hunger and your own relationship with God. And when that happens, that's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Because all of a sudden, I mean, look how many of us are in here this morning, and we're even small in numbers this morning. Look how many lives we could affect in the world by just who's sitting in here this morning, who's watching and listening over by radio. The Word has a way of Tracy quoted the scriptures this morning, the Word will never return back void. It'll always accomplish everything it's set out to do. And when you get full of the Word, it's always going to accomplish something. It's always going to go on and get everything done that it needs to do. That's why I love the broadcast so much, because it's just the Word going out. It's just the Word going out. Jacob just told me the other day when he was looking over the records for 2015 that all of a sudden on the website or the it's on the website that our number two most viewed country now on the website is Israel. And I'm like, wow, we've never had that before. And all of a sudden, that's picked up. And I'm like, that is cool. And so, you know, all I'm saying is it's just pure Word. Word's going to change everything. But you got to get the Word. And listen to me. The only Word that's really going to come about in your life is the Word that you know in your heart. The Word that you know in your head, you're going to be wishing for and hoping for. But the Word that you know in your heart, it's yours. That's what's going to happen. The Word that's in your heart. Jeremiah said, the Word in my heart came like a burning fire in my bones. But if you only know it head knowledge, you can say, oh, Lord, I don't really want to say that. If you say to yourself, Lord, why is this happening to me? Then you only have head knowledge in that situation, not heart knowledge. I know that stings, but it's the truth. It happens to me too. Sometimes I say, God, why do you fall off the throne or what's going on? What's happened is you're only dealing with head knowledge. You're not dealing with heart knowledge. Heart knowledge can't be changed. When you know that you know that you know and you believe it with all of your heart, then nothing in the outside affects you and phases you. But when it's just head knowledge, you get swayed. And the minute you hear the little voices speaking to you, getting you off track, well, then the next thing that you know that happens is you're not believing anymore. The moment you're not believing anymore, then the first thing you do is go blame God that things aren't working right. It amazes me how much in the world, there's a whole lot of people that don't believe in God that claim that they're atheists but blame everything on Him. And I'm like, if you don't believe in God, then why are you blaming God? I mean, liberals especially, they're all out there and they're blaming God for everything. And I'm like, I don't understand. I thought you don't believe in God. So if you don't believe in God, then how can it be He be at fault? But if it doesn't go right, it's His fault. You know? So anyway, let's stay hungry. Amen? So stand to your feet if you would. Can I have my prayer team come down? I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you that all the sugar levels will get right in your bodies and that you'll have a heart to exercise both spirit and flesh. Now, I just want to pray for you. Can I just do that and bless you? This is the last service this year. I won't be back in 2015. And so I want to bless you. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just pray for each person here. Pray for all those that are watching and listening. And I just ask you, Lord God, as we close out this year of 2015, that we enter into 2016 with a hunger within our heart. A hunger for You, a hunger for Your Word, a hunger to know You. Lord God, just a hunger for that walk, like that woman, for that living waters, for that fountain of living water to spring up in our life and to bring victory to us. I pray, Heavenly Father, right now that You prepare us. Because we're not going to walk the wide road, we're going to walk the narrow road.
Because we don't want to walk into destruction. We want to walk into life and victory. So Lord, just put your hand upon each person here. Just bless them. Bless them exceedingly abundantly beyond they can even think or ask. Let the word that is within them come alive and lead them to you. And Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. We're up here to pray with you if you need anything. Come on down.